RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Shane Jones, of course, is the Minister for Regional Development, Minister for Resources, Associate Minister of Finance, and Associate Minister for Energy, New Zealand's first Cabinet Minister in the coalition government. And we've had Shane on quite a few times already on RCR, and we've got him on again. Good morning, Shane Jones. Thanks for coming on RCR again.
Hey, kia ora, folks. Thank you very much for enabling me to come on the show.
When you took the job, all these jobs, did you realise what you'd be in for? Because you're fighting fires on many fronts.
I was keen as mustard for Winston to appoint me or promote me to be the resources minister. I see the debates underlying the resources issue as being a proxy for what's wrong in New Zealand in terms of the excesses and the tranquilizing effect that the left wing is having upon the structure and nature of our economy.
Interesting word, tranquilizing. Tranquilizing, that's an interesting one.
Well, how on earth do you think you can maintain a modern economy if you don't have a secure and certain flow of energy into your economy? Now, you and I both know that there is a desire for more clean, green sources of energy, but you can't have that pipe dream in the absence of certainty. Jobs require energy. Industry requires energy. The very conversation you and I are having, it's based on an assumption that when we flick the switch, the electricity will continue to flow. That's not going to happen unless we have a backup source. And historically, that's been gas, and now it's Indonesian coal. I mean, how pathetic. 2018, the worst energy minister New Zealand has ever known, Megan Woods, closed down the refinery, completely oblivious to the economic implications of the madness that Jacinda Ardern promoted with this climate cult. And I'm calling a halt to all of it through re-establishing the oil and gas industry.
Okay, bill to resume oil and gas exploration set for later this year. That's an RNZ headline. And it says that you say New Zealand's natural gas reserves were declining and sustainable sources like wind, solar and hydro were too inconsistent. Natural gas is critical to keeping our lights on and our economy running, as you've just mentioned. How desperate? Is it a desperate situation? Is it becoming desperate? Where exactly are we at? I mean, how far away is the lights not or the power not flowing, like you just described?
Well, in the absence of Indonesian coal, we've got no backup. When the water level in the hydro is low, when the wind doesn't blow, or indeed that the sun doesn't shine, all modern economies have multiple sources of gas and coal and hydro. Indeed, historically in Germany they had nuclear. Now they're starting up their coal power stations again. And I think what it really speaks to, what sort of country do we as Kiwis want? Do we want to continue to swallow this pill of piety that the Green Sisterhood puts about? Or do you want a robust, hard-headed set of decision-makers who ensure that solvency grows, industry flourishes, and our quality of life continues to expand? You're just not going to get that from this level of religiosity and cult-like thinking that's come out of the left wing of New Zealand politics. Sadly, Labour have lost their ancestral roots. They hate miners. They despise anyone in industry. They closed down the refinery. They've undermined the dairy industry. And they themselves have bought into falsehood that, you know, we can all enjoy unicorn kisses and keep the economy flourishing. That's a lie.
Okay, so oil and gas exploration resumes. How long could that take, and what will that then mean? Because companies have to be confident that this is long-term, right?
Well, the companies tell me they need long-term confidence that there will be a market that will continue to buy the gas as it's uncovered and as it's supplied. In the last 6 years, every single thing that's come out of the gob of the Climate Change Commission, or indeed the last government, has been to deprecate, stigmatise and undermine the gas industry. Consequently, people have chosen not to invest in it. And this particular piece of legislation you refer to is only one part of the puzzle. We've got to recover a level of confidence in the minds of the investors that this is not Venezuela. But sadly, when you listen to some of the lotus eaters who are jumping up and down and leaving their trash behind on Queen Street in the march, they seem to believe that New Zealand can have its economic cake without making some of these hardline trade-offs. And I'm hopefully, with the blessing of the industry, going to restore a higher level of confidence that Kiwis do want them continuing to invest. Kiwis do want the lights to stay on. I think gas should enjoy a position of importance till 2050. And if I can help expedite and accelerate the delivery of that outcome, then I feel I would have achieved the responsibilities that were thrust upon me.
I want to ask you about those protests in just a moment. The mineral mining strategy, that's also something that you've been talking about, aiming to double the sector's export value by $2 billion by 2035. That's another controversial thing to do, isn't it?
At one level, it's controversial. At another level, it's an overdue debate. You can't pinch your nose and close your eyes and block your ears, as the Greens are doing, and quietly allow the minerals to be imported into New Zealand from countries that have worse environmental standards, deplorable child labour standards, and smugly continue to live a first world quality of life. We need resilience. We need to develop our own mineral resource. Some of it is located on the Dock Estate. Not all of it, but a host of opportunities lie in what's called stewardship land, which is not dock land. It's overrun by rats and weasels and two-legged feral creatures wandering around, blighting the prospects of New Zealand's economic growth.
All right. How many jobs? Because in the end, that's what we understand. How many jobs could be generated from increasing the export value of that sector? Can you put a number on it?
Well, obviously, it'll come at the pace of the people doing the investing. But already there are hundreds of new jobs that are ready to go in the gold mines, the expanded coal mining opportunities. I've been down there, down the to the coast. We're probably going to have to work with the local government, upgrade the Hokitika Airport so that the workforce can come in and out of the West Coast. And there are a few problems with the infrastructure down the West Coast because it's been undermined for so long. The income associated with the mining sector is going to grow exponentially. There's an outstanding issue. Does the Crown get a reasonable return in relation to royalty? But the most important thing, if the Crown's not going to take the risk and dedicate capital, and if it's going to come from the private sector, wants to know that their rights won't be indiscriminately rubbed out by a Venezuelan, jealous, envy-riddled left-wing Green government.
Okay, many people were out in the streets. It's hard to know how many. Some say 1,000, some say 20,000. There's quite a stretch between those two numbers against the fast track bill and, of course, public service cuts thrown in there as well, probably. Do you think any of them have a point? I mean, I know what you're trying to do, but, you know, people have concerns.
Yeah. And a key feature of our democracy is the ability to remonstrate against the excesses of the state. I mean, if these lotus eaters feel that I'm overwhelming their rights, then where were they, given that most of them are Green and Labour voters, where were they standing out against Jacinda Ardern during the totalitarianism of the COVID experience? Most of them, I don't believe, are motivated by the fast-track legislation. They're motivated to create uncertainty in the minds of the public to undermine the government because they've never accepted that the New Zealand public has spoken. The New Zealand public made a decision that they wanted a regime that would emphasize delivery, cut red tape, move on from the excesses of the Ardern regime, and no single piece of legislation better exemplifies that than the one-stop shop fast-track legislation. Now, let's just think through what are the criticisms. Number one, it threatens democracy. Well, where were these people? And I saw many of them in the audience, the Greens, etc. They were the ones who were cheerleaders for the corruption of democracy during the COVID experience. They don't want mining. So you had the leader of the march talking on a cell phone that's made from rare earth minerals. They don't want any more investment in oil and gas, yet they all drove there on cars. I mean, the level of absurdity and so asinine words elude me.
Okay, so they've been triggered by something, by not liking your government, obviously.
Well, there'll be a range of emotions. I think a host of them. Well, there were the people that are supporting the Gaza terrorists, so they flocked to any cause. Then there were the range of Maori sovereignty flags, and sadly that's undermined the true status of the Maori people in New Zealand, who by and large are patriotic. They want to they have integrated, they want to create an indivisible, all-powerful nation. They don't want to splinter. They don't want to grow up hating their neighbours. It's just a tiny group of deranged, poisonous kakapos, otherwise known as the Māori Party.
I want to get onto that right now. Nine agency bosses meet over Te Pāti Māori data allegations. On a scale of 1 to 10, Mr Jones, is it a scandal?
Oh, it's very important, mate. New Zealand First has been on the receiving end of impulsive decision-making from the Serious Fraud Office 3 or 4 years ago. Was it 5 or 6 years ago? I can't remember. So once the various government departments make their decisions to uncover the truth, it's got to be done in a very robust and transparent way. Something has gone seriously wrong at the Manurewa Marae. I mean, that's a grossly unfair thing to have visited on that marae. I suspect that it's been colonised by the Māori Party. And the Māori Party, with their rhetoric that everything about the budget and the recent decisions we made related to policies to do with the Waitangi Tribunal reflect Pākehā hatred. Well, you know, if you fling the tūtai, if you fling the crap around, it inevitably lands on you. And that's what the Māori Party have woken up to this week.
It seems on the surface, from what we've heard so far, so brazen. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we all knew about some of these allegations, and I mean, I was only disappointed that the Labour Party never took them on at the time, because it struck me as really weird how there was a last-minute massive change in voting swing for both the Auckland Māori seat and the Taitokedo seat. And had it have been Winston advising them, I dare say he would have said, get some money and go and test it judicially. But unwisely, they just sat back. And you know, funnily enough, this issue, as I understand, has bubbled out of a case between jilted employers or employees. And that's often the way, eh? It's just a poison trail. But on the question of undertaking robust, judicially-based investigation, the investigators have to be thorough and they have to be transparent. And if they don't get it right, then there's no way the public will know the truth.
And it looks like some of the government agencies involved, ministries, were, what, asleep at the wheel, were they? Must have known something was up.
Well, you know as well as I do, over the last 6 years of Labour and the Greens, the establishment such as it is now practices a culture of appeasement. And that's evident throughout major institutions, including the judiciary. And when you consider the rapidity at which they've reached for the term tikanga Māori to make decisions about natural resources, including mining for iron sands off the coast of Taranaki. What the hell's that got to do with tikanga Māori? That's got everything to do with science, technology, and rational economics. And it's a very, very, I think, sort of bleak day that Māori culture has been manipulated and used as a basis to stop not only economic development, but rational scientific decision-making.
And lastly, urgent Waitangi Tribunal inquiry into claims coalition government policy is causing significant irreversible harm to te reo Māori has begun. So irreversible harm, how could it be causing, genuine question, irreversible harm? I mean, people are still using te reo and I guess some of the signs
I mean, I'm using te reo, I'm using te reo on a regular basis. I'm not part of that generation. We learnt it through our church from our grandmother. It's just a key feature of the rural community that I grew up in. Look, the Waitangi Tribunal has turned into an echo chamber of hyperbole. We're waiting to initiate a review into the tribunal. And one of the options on the table has to be basically retiring the current members of the Waitangi Tribunal. They've demonstrated that they're basically anti the government.
What do you think would have happened, all your experience, if Labor had won the election last year? What do you think would have happened?
I think the capital markets will have gone into free fall. I think a lot of people with talent and promise would have decamped to Australia. And we'd have a society where far too much attention, far too much resource goes on those who are takers and not developers.
And what do people tell you, Shane? I mean, you must be keen to gauge how all this is going down. What do you hear back?
Well, I think I encounter mostly people who want us to deliver. They are worried that governments have lost the ability in modern New Zealand to deliver to the interests and the needs of garden variety Kiwis. And they're fearful that the special pleading, which takes place from the green movement and sadly from the iwi movement, may prevail again. And I've said, look, just follow what I'm doing, Winston's doing, our other ministers, and I'm not going to take a backward step to these green cultists who want to catastrophize everything that we're doing, yet privately practice a life that makes a mockery of their rhetoric. And I'm absolutely not going to tolerate this ongoing destructive and disrespectful, grossly disrespectful behaviour that was visited upon Winston by that by the young lady from Tainui, who in Māori said to him, "Our blood is wasted in your veins." That sounds like some kind of medieval Catholic Church rupture sort of language. And it's the difficulty I have is that when I take these people on, obviously, they can't match my rhetoric because I've had 64 years of being yelled at and being up and being down and picked myself up. But they're very brittle, and they immediately reach for the victim card when you put them in their place. But they're going to learn when I go on the marae in Waikato, this is an NRL sport. This is not tiddlywinks.
Okay, last question. I mean, race relations, not so hot. That's what it appears at the moment. I mean, are we... I don't even like to ask this, but are we heading for some kind of potential showdown or confrontation? I mean, the rhetoric is, well, you just gave us an example of that, and we've seen what people have been saying on social media up front, and we know what's been going on in Manurewa. Where's it at, Shane, do you think?
Oh, I think those of us who are robust, those of us who love our country, believe in an indivisible nation, an indivisible state, an indivisible treaty, an indivisible citizenship, need to move from the politics of appeasement and confront this destructive, polarizing, these polarizing verses of hatred straight up the guts. And we've allowed the Jacinda Ardern approach to permit this festering pus discord to grow under the rubric of kindness and cuddling, and you know, where she sort of earning a fortune overseas after having left the rest of us in the crap.
Shane Jones, thanks for giving us a bit of time this morning. We'll talk again soon, hopefully. Thank you.
See you, mate. Bye.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.